The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
It's a gloriously sunny morning here in Cork, looking out the window of our studio at Republic of Work. Hopefully it is the same wherever you are. And of course it gives rise to hope that we will eventually get out and do the things that we want to do during the course of the summer. And more importantly, get in to do the things that we want to do over the course of the summer. Leo Varadkar, as Tánaiste, has given us an insight into how frustrated he is about not being able to go back to the gym, but has also given rise to hope that indoor activity might return sooner than might have been expected. It's all down to the fact that the COVID numbers are in a better position than we thought they were going to be, but there's still a fair bit of it floating around the community. And if we look elsewhere around the world, the picture is not pretty. So why are the kites being flown? And more importantly, what can people genuinely expect over the course of the next while? Danny McConnell is political editor with the Irish Examiner. We'll speak to him first. Danny, Leo Varadkar chooses his language carefully, always has, but he did seem to indicate that May, the end of May, might see the resumption of some services that people weren't expecting until much later in the summer.
Yeah, I think he's, I suppose, given voice, Jonathan, to the sort of pent-up demand that's clearly there within the political establishment, you know, in relation to opening up. I think, you know, there was clearly lessons learned around Christmas and the pace at which we opened and the length of time we opened up. And you could probably say the timing, you know, I think the government at that stage had sort of committed itself to opening up for Christmas. And it did so notwithstanding the surge that was clearly, you know, at play at the time. And we obviously paid a pretty significant consequence for that. But I do think, you know, the numbers don't lie. And we're in a very different space now compared to where we were in January. Like, I mean, we're less than 200 cases in total last night. You know, the number of deaths are down. You know, kind of if you look at the longer trends, not necessarily one individual day. ICU numbers are down. Hospitalizations are down, as I said. So the numbers are going in the right way. And certainly both combined with the vaccine rollout and, I suppose, the good behaviour over the Easter period, where I suppose there may have been a fear that we would have done, you know, we would have socialised a bit more. I think the numbers have stayed relatively stable. So that's the positive side of it. The wider
international situation. Yeah, but we have to be careful. This spreads indoors. And if we open up indoors while it is circulating amongst people who are not vaccinated, then there is a risk that more people who are not vaccinated will get ill and will spread it more. So why are we rushing to open things indoors in May?
Well, I think what we're looking, Jonathan, like, I mean, this has been a very, like, by any stretch of imagination, this has been a very cautious reopening. I mean, like, we've essentially been in level 5 lockdown since October, notwithstanding those 3 weeks, you know, or two and a half weeks to 3 weeks kind of a reprieve over Christmas, which obviously, as I said, had dire consequences. But, the, you know, very strict, you know, levels regime have been in place for a very, very long period of time. And everyone from the WHO to many other experts have said, like, you know, lockdowns are a crude measure to act as almost as a circuit breaker. They're not meant to be there as a long-term permanent sort of policy. So I can understand the move to get back. And ultimately, you know, if you have all your vulnerable categories, at least with their first dose done, the risk profile is substantially lower than where it was back in December before the vaccine rollout was kind of there in earnest. And yeah, also so as well, I do think...
To be fair to Leo Varadkar, if we're looking at what he said was, we're looking at personal services, barbers and hairdressers, retail, more outdoor activities, religious services and the full return to construction are being looked at in May. The publicans want us to reopen the pubs in May. I mean, do you think the government is going to be able to resist that clarion call?
I certainly think there might be movement on outdoor dining. I think what you'll see again, I don't think there'll be any immediate rush to open the wet pubs, you know, that have been closed for 15 months now at this stage, you know, in the short run. I think they will be last in the queue, as will gigs and kind of other kind of, you know, congregations. The major concern has always been, Jonathan, large congregations of people indoors where alcohol is present. That's the perfect mix that leads to rampant spread of this virus, as all the health experts will tell you. But I suppose if you get to that critical point, and if the government does deliver on that you know, target of 82% of the adult population, you know, with their first dose by the end of June, you're in a completely different space to where you were at Christmas time. And ultimately, if you have your vulnerable categories taken, the risk profile is much lower. And again, the whole purpose of all of this process was to keep the pressure off our hospital system. And what's clear is, as I said in my earlier comments, the numbers, we're not in surge capacity anymore. The numbers are way down. ICU numbers are down. So as I said, we're in a much better space. And I do think, you know, what's been reflected in the political discourse and conversations are, you know, the wider economic and societal implications that now have to be taken in. By all means, when you're in an acute emergency, as we were in January, public health had to dominate. I do think there's now space for a wider conversation. And I think that Taoiseach was merely reflecting those desires and views in his comments yesterday. But, you know, far be it from Leo Varadkar to try and get out of the government, his own government, you know, when heralding good news. He may not be as forward-coming when the bad news is there as well, but like...
Daddy, you've clearly been in politics too long, if you're that cynical at this point. Stay on the line, though, because I'm about to come back to you in just a minute. Let's bring in Mark McSherry, who's a Fianna Fáil TD for Sligo Leitrim. Mark, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jonathan.
The rush to reopen, if we can call it that, it's hardly a rush because we're talking about stuff that probably won't happen until next month and probably towards the end of the month. But what do you think should happen by the end of May?
Well, first of all, on the Taoiseach's comments, what I'd say is don't fly the kite unless we're following through. Nothing undermines public resilience more than the mixed messaging we have had throughout the entirety of the COVID crisis since last March, 12 months. That's the first thing. The second thing is, since the beginning, and this is a personal view, and I've been consistent on it, is we need to develop a strategy for living with COVID. Yesterday on another show, Dr. Killian de Gascon said, COVID will be with society in the world, global society, for a number of centuries. Okay. Now, I know that's scary to me, but it certainly underpins the need for the development of a strategy to live with it. Mm. Third thing, and following on and agreeing with Danny there, the WHO speak of lockdowns as a temporary measure to build capacities to detect, isolate and trace. We've used it as our sole strategy. And there's been huge collateral damage from that, psychologically, socially and economically. And again, I believe we've wasted three lockdowns without building those capacities. So well, what I would like to see...
Well, with due respect, you are in government. Surely this should have been your responsibility to do that. You're right, we probably haven't got, we have the testing down, tracing has gotten better, but we're nowhere near where we need to be, where they have been in countries like Singapore and Taiwan.
Well, Jonathan, and thanks to your own show, since the very beginning, I've been saying these things. And while I'm a member of the government, one of the government parties in Fianna Fáil, I work for the people, and my responsibility is to call out and identify issues when they arise, make some suggestions.
Why not pick up the phone to your colleague, Stephen Donnelly, who's the Minister for Health, and maybe impart to him as opposed to telling everybody else?
Every week, absolutely. I'm doing that all of the time.
Does he not like you enough to follow your advice?
No, clearly the government are being guided exclusively by the advices of NPHET, NIAC and other bodies who are doing a very good job exercising their right to give advice. What we're failing in nationally, and I'm not going to get party political about it. If you want to, you can. Yes, I am Fianna Fáil, but that doesn't mean that we're all clones and we can't make suggestions to improve the matter. I believe we should have put forward suggestions, and our government and the Oireachtas generally have a responsibility to balance the advice of the medics to keep us all safe with the needs of a functioning society. Sadly, we failed in that regard.
Had they followed your advice, Mark McSherry, when you wrote a research paper to the Taoiseach calling for level 2 restrictions when there was 1,000 COVID-19 infections announced that day, we would have been in a much worse place than we ended up. I'm just quoting from an article in the Irish Times. You said that the virus was not indiscriminate, mostly impacted older people and those with pre-existing conditions, and rendered a forced closure for younger, otherwise healthy individuals questionable. That wasn't particularly sound advice to send to the Taoiseach in hindsight.
No, if we want to look at something through today's eyes that was written based on research done last September, as I said to Ken Fox, who published that article in the Times and the Independent, strange the Times and the Independent didn't publish it back last September when they were given that document. So at different times, I'll put forward suggestions based on the data available. When circumstances change, I change my mind. Do you know what? I'm not afraid to be wrong, Jonathan. And this is an issue with leadership. We need to be prepared. You've questioned NPHET and the reason why they put forward information.
At the same time, you have to open yourself up to question as well as the advice that you were trying to push forward.
And I have no problem. I have no problem at that. I have praised the physicians for giving the appropriate advice. What I'm criticising is myself, ourselves, the Oireachtas, the government. for not distilling that advice into a functioning society. We are, as of this day, and if I could just finish this point, Jonathan, we are the most locked down country for the longest period in the history of the world. I yearn to get out of that, just like the Taoiseach, and I'd like to come up with a few suggestions to try and make
but
it happen.
Do you at least accept, Mark McSherry, that had it not been for that painful lockdown that has a huge impact on all of our lives, we would not now be where we are, which is amongst the countries with the lowest levels of infection globally?
I'm not so sure. It's the only thing we've tried. We'll never know, quite frankly, Jonathan. So, I mean, what we tend to do to defend our actions is look at the most extreme example and say, look how bad they are, and they opened this and they opened that. What I'm saying is we need to develop a strategy. We haven't even been open to show the ambition to try and develop that strategy.
There were 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 cases a day in January. Do you think we had an alternative than shutting down the entire country?
I'm not criticising shutting down in January, Jonathan. I'm not criticising. You're interviewing me today about the outlook as we move ahead. You were going to need to develop a strategy for this. Because mark my words, next October, numbers will be up again. What is our approach going to be then? Is it further lockdown? That is just not sustainable.
Do you not have confidence in the vaccination campaign that's rolling out right now?
No, I do not. Because in the
why
first
do you not
instance,
have confidence in it?
If you let me, I first highlighted this on the 2nd of January on RTE, and probably every day since, in terms of our need to have gone an independent route rather than depend on the EU, who had no confidence in health up to now, and have shown they haven't, in terms of their failure to procure out of numbers. Secondly, because we want to take the goody-two-shoes EU members approach, we weren't prepared to push the boat out even still and in parallel try and procure other amounts of vaccines. The horse is gone now, in that so many other smaller countries throughout the world are further up the curve. We're not even prepared to put in an order for Sputnik, pending its EMA approval.
You still think we should get Sputnik, even though it hasn't been approved by the European Medicines Agency?
You're not listening to me, Jonathan. I just said put in an advance order.
I genuinely am listening to you. Pending,
I said, the EMA approval. In other words, when the EMA approve it, we will then join the queue.
What about the vaccines that are coming in from Pfizer, 50 million extra? There's going to be another 100 million before the end of the year on top of the orders that are already in. AstraZeneca is a basket case. I think we can all agree that. J&J is probably going to be restored this week. Do you not share the, and I can understand why you wouldn't, do you not share the optimism that we'll get to 80%, if not by the end of June, certainly in July?
Well, if you get the vaccines, that's great. So far, they haven't. Okay, I also have concern in terms of breakthrough infections when it re-arises, even though they are less detrimental in terms of the data that we're getting from other countries, particularly the US in this regard, come next September, October. Is it pull the children out of school again? Is it close everything down again? Because for me, that's not acceptable. And I think we need to put the greater good first. And I don't believe we are doing that.
I agree with you that having to take the children out of school again would be an absolute disaster. But is that not the reason why we need to exercise caution now? Because the last thing we want is if we open, in particular, indoor activity too soon, not at the end of May, maybe in June, possibly, hopefully in July, but at an appropriate time, that the virus levels in the community will be so low that enough vaccine will be out there that the schools and, more importantly, the universities who haven't gone back yet will be there in September. I mean, the point is that we take our time and move slowly. I know you don't want to rush like a bull at a gate, but if we move too fast, we may end up in a situation where schools and colleges might have to close again in September and October.
Yeah, but I think if we're developing a strategy to live with the virus, for example, mandatory wearing of masks everywhere, except when eating and drinking. That's one thing. Did we develop capacities for containment, like City West, where we could have 7 or 8 centres around the country? That's for kind of step-down care. And if you examine the hospitalisations of the last number of months in particular, and this information is coming from infectious disease consultants, about 65% have not required either high-dependency, high-flow oxygen or ventilation and ICU. So they, instead of clogging up our acute hospital systems, which is preventing against regular, I suppose, healthcare, for want of a better expression, we could put them into these centres. I mean, there are a number of things that can be done.
They were rather sick, Mark. And speaking to anyone who's had COVID, thankfully I haven't, but speaking to people who've had it, they were very grateful to be in hospital when they were there.
I'm only listening to the doctors who were telling me.
It sounds like you're not very happy in government, Mark McSherry.
Me?
Yeah.
I'm quite happy, but I have a job to do. But anybody, and it seems to be a surprise to some journalists, but
I'll give you the reason why, because it seems to, the question might not have sat easily with you. If you're telling me about it and you feel the need to constantly tell the media, it means that perhaps those within your party are not listening to you, which makes you feel you have to do this, that gives me an indication that you're not happy.
That's a matter of fact. And of course, it's your producer that rang me to come on the show. I didn't ring him asking to come on the show. So you're asking me to come on, Jonathan. That's the first thing. The second thing is, anybody who thinks that the membership of a party who happens to be in government is an obligation to support every single thing they do, to forget that you have your own brain and you can make some suggestions as to how policy should be tweaked moving forward, is deluded. And you, as a seasoned journalist, know that very well.
Can I ask you, the government is, cabinet's meeting on Friday, and they're due to, I think, is it this coming Friday or is it Friday week? There's a Friday meeting anyway that they're going to tell us what the plan is. Do you have confidence that that plan is going to be workable at this point, given the concerns you've articulated?
I'd like to read it before I decide what I feel about it. I think if it's based on what we've seen so far, which has lacked strategy, in terms of medium-term planning with COVID and the COVID crisis, then I don't have confidence. But if they are prepared to listen, things that Danny and yourself and many others are putting forward, including myself, then I would have confidence in it. But ultimately, the greater good must dictate policy in this country. Of course, I'm not saying dismiss Enfit or anybody else in terms of the medical world, but we as an Oireachtas and as a government must distill that down to a functioning society. And anybody who thinks we've had any semblance of a functioning society for the last 15 months is just simply wrong.
When should wet pubs open? That terrible phrase, which unfortunately has crept back into the lexicon in the last 24 hours. When do you think people should be able to sit down and have a pint indoors?
Well, I think subject to restrictions, my personal view is that you open a hospitality together subject to the appropriate restrictions. And I think that we gave hospitality generally kind of poor treatment, really, through the crisis, blaming them for not, based on what we've seen on some news reports where a couple of crazies had parties and outdoor events and so on. But I feel that we shouldn't be differentiating between wet pubs and food pubs. But I think we all are entitled to ask them to follow suitable guidelines and enforce those
guidelines. But do you not accept that the publicans, and to be fair to them, mostly to a man and woman, followed the rules? It wasn't necessarily their actions that led to COVID spreading before Christmas. It was the fact that people were meeting up indoors, maybe six different households, which were allowed to sit at the same table. It wasn't the publicans' fault.
I would agree with you on that. And if you look at the Ernst & Young report when it came out after the first lockdown, outbreaks were being put down to pubs. Most of them, in fact, or the highest trend was in private houses. And that's what I think happened last Christmas. Okay. Now, we did have the new variant, which we were only getting used to in terms of its transmissibility. But we were all going to everybody else's houses. It wasn't pubs or restaurants where there were one-way systems to go to the loo, where there was masks being worn, where there was...
From the same household sitting at the same table, one of whom had COVID and gave it to the other five?
Yeah, I mean, that certainly happened. But what I'm telling you happened over last Christmas is you had 12 people from 12 different households meeting in individual houses. So
And to be fair, that point has been made more than once this week, that personal responsibility has to supersede a lot of what the state is saying. Mark McSherry, just one last question to you, because again, I'm just intrigued by a government TD being quite animated in the way that you are to try and get things done and feeling that they're not being listened to. Do you have confidence in Micheál Martin in his leadership on COVID?
No, I don't.
Is that not a problem, that a TD for a government party does not have confidence in the theatre.
No, but I've made that clear. I've made that clear since last March in recommendations and suggestions in what I believe needs to be done. I haven't had confidence in the entire government approach to COVID management. They've abdicated their responsibility, saying, well, that's NFID and that's NIAC and that's everybody else. But if you read the WHO website in terms of how to approach a pandemic, we haven't sought to build capacity. We haven't sought to track and trace to the extent that it works. We haven't sought to introduce guidelines that will see that wet pub or will see that gym open or will see that whatever. We have had one strategy, which is based on hope and vaccination and lockdown. And that's not a strategy. So in that context, no, I don't have confidence.
With that lack of confidence, do you feel you can stay in government?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Why would I not?
Because you've just expressed on national radio that you don't have confidence in the Taoiseach.
No, I don't. Not in terms of the management of the crisis. No, I don't. And I've made that crystal clear, so it shouldn't be a surprise to everyone, including on this show with Pat on other days.
All right. Mark McSharry, Fianna Fáil TD for Sligo Leitrim. Danny McConnell, I think, is still on the line. Danny, you're still with us?
I am, Jonathan, yep.
Interesting comments from Mark McSharry there, not having confidence in the Taoiseach on the issue of COVID. He has been forthright before. It just shows you that politicians have strong opinions on this, even if they are sitting at the government's table.
Yeah, and certainly in fairness to Mark McSharry and others within Fianna Fáil, I mean, that they've been persistent and kind of dogged in their criticism and kind of, and not just criticism, I suppose, that they've been seeking to come up with suggestions and solutions to the crisis. Now, it would be fair to say that Stephen Donnelly, the health minister, has not been sort of forthcoming in listening to Mark McSharry. And I know that, like, at various parliamentary party meetings, which I cover every week, you know, there've been kind of several set twos and kind of sharp exchanges, you know, between them. But in fairness, you know, there have been, you know, some good suggestions coming through. I mean, Mark, in fairness to him, was out he was out before anybody else in terms of looking at the Sputnik thing. People laughed at him at the time, but I mean, you know, ultimately he I think in my view was proved right in relation to that. But,
well, he had a point that the European project was very slow in rolling it out and we were following it rather slavishly.
But I do think, though, like, I mean, if he's now getting into the position of expressing no confidence in the Taoiseach, that all that's going to do is now ramp up. People like me and my colleagues are now going to, that's going to become a story of today ahead of the parliamentary party meeting this evening. You know, there's going to be questions asked of everybody now. Do you have confidence in Micheál Martin, et cetera, like that? So he's now, just by what he said on your show, even though he has said it privately and he said it elsewhere in the weeks and months previously, it'll take on fresh legs again today, unfortunately, from a government perspective. But Micheál Martin's leadership has been an open question in recent months. You know, there are poll ratings in the party. And obviously you had, you know, a lot of attention circulating around the likes of Jim O'Callaghan, who's seen as an heir apparent or a potential leadership challenger in the coming months ahead. Like, so, you know, all Mark McSharry has done now is keep further pressure on his own beleaguered party leader.
We've just gotten off the European Super League roller coaster. I don't think I have time to get on another one just yet. My stomach won't have recovered. But for now, Danny McConnell, political editor of the Irish Examiner. Before that, Mark McSherry, Fianna Fáil TD for Sligo Leitrim. Thank you both very much for joining us.